Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this online service from Oney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond, and I am one of the elders here. We are continuing with the series from John's Gospel titled, Who is this Jesus? And the I Am statements Jesus made. We are reading from John chapter 4 and chapter 14 today, and trust that God will speak to you through his word and draw you closer to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this day and acknowledge that you are the great God of heaven and earth. We praise you for all your goodness, mercy and forgiveness. We thank you that you sustain all things, and we praise you for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Help us to praise you and help us to worship you in this short service. Amen. Well, our first hymn this morning, which Jonathan will sing, is number 77, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns.
Our first reading this morning is from John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 14. And Jesus is addressing his disciples and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, we'll come to wrap reading a bit later on. We'll come to our prayers of intercession now. So let's pray again. Father, we come to you and give thanks for your care for us. We thank and praise you for your salvation and the knowledge and wisdom you have blessed us with. Thank you for our homes, for our food and clean water. And we are all well aware, Father, that everything comes from you. And Father, because all power and authority belongs to you, we pray for our nation in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic and ask for your help. For the National Health Service, that you will sustain it and that you would strengthen doctors and nurses and keep them safe. For scientists and medical workers, who are working to develop a vaccine, give wisdom, guidance, and success to them, please. For the government to make the right decisions in the easing of the lockdown. We pray for guidance for the government in these difficult times in which we live. We pray for those who live on their own, that their neighbours and community will support and encourage them. We do thank you for the many positive stories of help we have heard. And Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We ask for your comfort and for your peace for them, and that you would meet their needs. For those who have lost their jobs, Father, we bring them to you, that you would meet their needs, as well as those with reduced income. And lastly, Father, we pray concerning Black Lives Matter demonstrations. Of course, Father, Black Lives Matter, and we cry out to you, the God of justice, that you will provide justice for those who don't have it at the moment. Father, don't allow these demonstrations to divide us, and we do pray for a good outcome for all. And we do ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now we come to a song which Jonathan is going to sing to us. It's 312, Jesus, You Are the Radiance of the Father's Glory. Come to looking at God's Word, and if you have your Bibles handy, I do ask that you would pick up your Bible and that you would turn to John chapter 4. And we'll read that in a moment. So this morning we come to the second I Am of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. And what an amazing statement this is. So let's turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 45 to 54. About the man who had an encounter with Jesus. The story is a pointer to true faith. So I'm going to read that to you now. Verse 45 of John chapter 4. When he, that is Jesus, arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. they had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. We find Jesus in Cana in Galilee. According to verse 45, he was given a warm welcome by the Galileans. It says they had seen all that Jesus had done in Jerusalem, for they had been there. In chapter 2 of John, verses 23 and 24, we read these verses. "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men." I'll just read that again. "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men." In other words, these men believed in Jesus simply because of the miraculous signs he was doing. So although Jesus received a warm welcome from the Galileans, he was not received as Jesus the Messiah. But he was received as a miracle worker, a wonder man, who could do amazing things. Also in Cana was a man described as a royal official, and his heart was breaking because his son was dying. His son is at home in Capernaum, 20 miles away. And the man begs Jesus to come and heal his son. The response from Jesus in verse 48 seems harsh and critical, considering the man's anguish. This is what Jesus says: "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe." This does not sound like the compassionate, loving Jesus who we know. But I am pleased to report that there are many Bible expositors who believe Jesus is not referring to the man's attitude to believing, but Jesus is referring to the Galileans' only interest in miracles and not the person of Jesus. The royal official persists with Jesus, verse 49, and says, "Sir, come down before my child dies." The man is desperate. He needs a miracle from Jesus. He does not want to discuss the niceties of faith. He just wants Jesus to journey with him to Capernaum and heal his son. He wants his son to live. We can understand that, can't we? We would feel exactly the same. We can almost feel the man's pain and anguish. Jesus says to the man in verse 50, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and he departed. The royal official starts on his journey home. While he is still on the road, some of his servants meet him. You can imagine the anticipation of the man. Is it good news or bad news from home? As they recognize each other, the two parties speed up. I'm sure the man can tell by the smiles on the servants' faces. It's good news. The boy is living, they say. The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that was exactly the time that Jesus said, "Your son will live." What a great result and what a great relief for this man to know that his son was feeling better. But also, verse 53 tells us that the man and all his household believed. That's another great outcome. This household is changed because Jesus, in his wisdom, had more than the healing of a boy in mind. Two aspects worth thinking about. Distance is not a barrier to the power of Jesus. The royal official wanted Jesus to go to Capernaum and stand by his son's bedside. Jesus did not think it necessary. His word, his authority is enough. For at the seventh hour, the boy's fever left him. It was banished. The boy was 20 miles away. He never met Jesus. But nevertheless, he was healed. Jesus is in heaven today, and we are down here. But Jesus can still minister to our needs. When we go to God in prayer for a particular situation or a person, we usually have in mind how we want God to answer our prayer. But God may have a different view. He may want us to change regarding the situation. He may want us to have a different attitude regarding the situation or a person. He may want us to wait, therefore testing our faith. What we do know is that he only wants what is best for us long term. And the New Testament encourages us to know the mind of God. And so each one of us need to seek that. We move now from John chapter 4 to chapter 14. Here we find the disciples are all together, except Judas Iscariot. And Jesus needs to comfort and reassure his disciples, because in the previous chapter, he has told his disciples he will be leaving them. Very understandably, the disciples are devastated at this news. Jesus had been very much part of their everyday lives for the last couple of years. How could they possibly go on without him? Jesus says to them in chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas replies to Jesus in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So let's break this verse down. Jesus says, "I am the way." You may ask the question, the way to where? Well, Jesus, he is the way to heaven. In verse 2 of this chapter, Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." If you want a room in his Father's house, Jesus would say, "Come to me, for I am the way." So Jesus is the way to heaven, but also in his Father's house are many rooms. And Jesus is the way to rooms in the Father's house. Jesus says, "I am the truth." What does this mean? The truth is, Jesus is the only way of salvation. The Bible makes it quite clear. Jesus, in verse 6, says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." We belong to God by knowing the Lord Jesus. We belong to God by knowing the Lord Jesus. And Jesus also said, "I am the life." If you want a spiritual life that's acceptable to God, if you want everlasting life, then it is only Jesus who can provide that. Why, you might ask? Because it is only Jesus who died on the cross for your sins. It is only Jesus who died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. People in many parts of the world seek peace, and they seek forgiveness, and they seek satisfaction. But only God through Jesus can make these things a reality. For anybody who's listening to this recording and you don't know Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord, you can know him today. That's the good news. you can know him today. You can know him by asking God for forgiveness for your sins and ask God for salvation in Jesus. The invitation is there from Jesus for you. In this chapter 14, we read these verses 8, 9 and 10. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." We see from these verses that Jesus and his Father are working together for the salvation of men and women. The royal official in chapter 4 came to realize that Jesus was more than just a miracle worker or a powerful prophet. What the royal official came to realize was that Jesus is God's Son and the Saviour of the world, who came to seek and to save those who were lost. Our last and closing hymn is number 72, and Jonathan is going to sing that to us. "Come, let us sing of a wonderful love." So we come to our closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your salvation. We do thank you that Jesus died for us on the cross. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you, Father, be forgiven, be at peace with you. And you give us your peace when we accept Jesus as our Saviour and commit our lives to him. Father, we thank you and we praise you for Jesus, who died for us on the cross and who gave his life for us. Father, help each one of us to follow you, to trust you, to love you more. We do ask it in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.